Well, good morning and greetings in the name of Jesus. And it is good to be here this morning. Went down to use the restroom after Sunday school, and it was hard to come back upstairs with all that smelling so good down there. So hopefully you can focus your attention up here for a few minutes at least before we get to go enjoy that wonderful lunch that they are preparing. My grandfather was Grandfather Zimmerman was born in 1898. Of course, he's not been with us for a lot of years already, but he lived into his 90s. And I have a lot of memories of my grandfather, Ben's great-grandfather. He probably barely remembers him, if at all. And just like to reflect a little bit on, as an introduction to the message this morning, in some of his life. He was a rebellious teenager, I'm told. And as in his late teens, he bought, this would have been around 1916, 1917, he bought an Indian motorcycle, if you can imagine how that may have looked. And he had a friend with him, and they were driving home from work one evening in the dark without a headlight on this motorcycle. And there was a farmer with a load of stones on his wagon and driving his horses down the road, and they didn't see it in the dark and come up over a knob and run right into this wagon load of rocks, and they were both thrown into the field, and the first people that came to the accident thought they were both dead. They were both gone. There's no life here. And then after a while, they started looking closer. Well, maybe there is, and they threw them on a wagon and haul them into a hospital somewhere, or to a doctor, actually, not a hospital. And they both survived. But my grandfather had an injury that was he dealt with for the rest of his life, and that was that his voice box was crushed. And so he could talk, but he had this real raspy voice. And it was just something that everyone who knew my grandpa knew that this was, there was no other voice like that, because he was missing his voice box. It had been crushed. And my grandfather was, this accident really got his attention spiritually, I'm told, and he started going to church and joined church and found himself a godly woman and got married and had 9 children and nearly 100 grandchildren. And he had a lot of successes in his life as far as he owned a lot of farms and started a business that was very successful and did a lot of wonderful things. But the one thing that my grandpa did not do was he did not have much of a personality as far as it came to relating to his children and grandchildren. He was very successful in business, but as far as personal relationships with his children and grandchildren, and of course, if you have 90-some grandchildren, pretty hard to remember all their names maybe, but I can recall Grandpa saying, well, which one's this? Where does this one go? Who's this? I have no memory of my grandpa ever holding me or even teasing me or anything like that, but we lived on one of his farms for a long time before my dad bought it from him, and so there's a lot of memories. He was often there and what have you, but not much of a relationship with his grandchildren for sure. And one of the memories I have is that of my father, always it was important to my father to have my grandfather's approval, and he was always looking for that. And it was really terrible if my grandpa was disappointed in something that my dad did. And so, for example, I remember I was the youngest of 4 boys in our family. And I remember my dad saying, okay, boys, it's time for haircuts. And, and we got to clean the barn up. And I remember my older brothers teaching me this. They say, well, Grandpa's coming for dinner on Sunday, so everything's got to be cleaned up around here, and we all have to have these nice-looking haircuts. And Dad's trying to please Grandpa. He doesn't want Grandpa to be disappointed in him. And so I have those memories, and it was of my dad seeking for the approval of his father, and I think it was really hard to come by. I think Grandpa was, it was easier for him to be critical than to give affirmation and say, well, you know, this is, you did a really good job here, and that type of thing. And so it's something that, and then I also, when I think of my father, that's the way he grew up, and so it was also hard for my father to heap any kind of praise on us as children. And he hadn't learned it from his father, even though he wanted it, and we could see him looking for it. It was very difficult for him, and I was fortunate as a child if I simply caught my father with a kind of a proud look on his face if I accomplished something, and a nice smile from him, that was about the most you were going to get. There was no high fives. There was no patting you on the back and saying, good job, son, way to go. I'm really proud of you. Those are words that I just never heard. And it's the way I grew up. And I remember my mother understanding that and wishing it could be different, but I remember her saying to me and to the rest of my siblings sometimes, well, when you look at where Grandpa was, why, Dad has come a long way. He's at least he held us and took us, paid attention to us and what have you, and there was a large improvement there. But now I look at my generation and the next generation, and I see a lot of wonderful things happening. It's not like that in most situations. Just yesterday, I stopped in at Tristan's, my son, and my 11-year-old's grandson, Boaz, comes out of the house there, and he's like, Grandpa, he had his little six-pointer that he got with his bow and arrow a few weeks ago and had the antlers there, and it was important for him to show them to me, and why, Boaz, way to go, high five, Boaz, good job, Boaz, oh, he's just gleaming. But I also know, for even though I wasn't there, I can assure you that I know Tristan was with him when he got it, and I can assure you, I can just see the picture of Tristan affirming him and congratulating him and on this accomplishment that he had got, and how Boaz was just beaming from that and how important it was to him. And it's true that we as humans, there is something so special about a father's approval of what we're doing. And mankind, I don't care what part of the world you live in, there is this thing that is born into our human nature that we are looking for approval, and especially our father's approval. It is very, very important. And there is a void in the heart if we don't have that and we can't get that. And sometimes I even read stories at times of someone who maybe was grew up as an orphan, or maybe didn't grew up, was adopted, and there's just something they're looking for there for their natural father. It's so important to some people, and there's just to finally, and I read stories of people after 30, 40, 50 years meeting their father and just getting a hug from their father, and having their father say, oh, I miss you so much, you know, and I never wanted this to happen, or what have you, but affirming their child and telling them how proud they are of them for what they've accomplished in their life, and how important that is. The message that I have this morning, and that's there we're talking in the physical sense. The message that I have this morning, we're going to focus on one verse, and you can turn in your Bibles to John chapter 5. What is true in the physical is also true in the spiritual. And sometimes when I read a book, I go to I'll go to the back, the last chapter, just to see how it ends, so I don't have to deal with all the stress while I'm going through the book. I want to know what happens in the end. And so I'll just give you a heads up this morning on where we're going to end up. It's the same place we're going to start, maybe, but I think it's so important. And that is, our seeking our Father's approval and having our Father's approval is so true in the physical, like I said. And in the spiritual, if we're truly born again, Jesus makes it clear in the verse we're going to focus in on this morning. If we are truly born again, it is very important to us, and we strive to have our Father's approval. We're looking for that. And it's important to us that we have our Father's approval. And our text this morning we find in the Gospel of John and chapter 5 and verse 44, where Jesus says, how can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? When I read this, this is a question that Jesus is posing to the Jews who at the time were persecuting him and seeking to kill him. And I read this verse, and one of the words that really jumps out at me is at the very end of the verse, where Jesus says, seek not the honor that cometh from God only. The word only, no one else but from, there's only one source where you can get this honor, and it's from God. I want to break this verse down a few different ways this morning and take a close look at this as we think about this verse. And the first thing I want to do is I want to paraphrase the verse, make it easy for us to understand, and then I want to take the verse apart carefully and examine it, and then I want to look at the context of the verse, and then I want to practically apply this verse to my life and to your life. And the paraphrase, it goes something like this. How can you say, now make this personal, each one of us, how can I say that I have a relationship with God when I receive and give praise and compliments to one another, but I do not practice seeking the praise and compliments that only God can give? Only God can give them. I'm concerned about praise from others, but not concerned about the praise that only God can give. And so that is simply paraphrasing that verse, and it's a question that Jesus poses to the scribes and Pharisees, and it's a very important question, and it dives directly into our spiritual well-being and our relationship with God. Now, I'd like to take this verse apart and just very carefully examine it. And Jesus starts out in this verse and he says, how can you believe? And the word can in Greek means, are you able? Is it possible? And so the question that Jesus is asking here is, in this question, he's implying that it's not possible. It's not possible to say, or to, it's not possible to actually have a belief in God and to not seek his approval. The same in the natural sense, like I talked about a child seeking their father's approval and it's so important to them. In the same sense, spiritually, if we are a believer, if our faith and trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will have this strong desire for our Father's approval, and we will constantly be seeking it. Secondly, Jesus says, you receive honor one of another. In other words, praise, compliments, affirmations, like I already talked about. We do that to one another. You could ask a question, is that wrong? No, that's not wrong. That's okay. We do that all the time, and it's very appropriate to praise and compliment each other and give affirmation. In fact, Jesus implies in this verse that it's expected. There's nothing unusual about it. It's expected that we would do that. You receive honor one of another. I know I usually, if somebody compliments me on a message, I will often respond to say, well, praise the Lord. And just simply, I'm not looking for affirmation, and I just simply turn it around and say, praise the Lord. And I remember one time, a long time ago, a pastor said to me, he said, thank you so much for the message. I really appreciate it. I said, well, praise the Lord. And he said, well, I already did. Now I'm thanking you. And so that was his, and I never, that opened my eyes to, okay, it's okay to thank somebody for something that they have done. And then the next thing that we want to notice in this verse, where Jesus says, which you receive, honor one of another. And he says, and seek not. In other words, Jesus is saying, it's not important to you. You could care less. You don't even try to seek for the approval that only God can give. You're not concerned about that. All you're concerned about is other people's approval and affirmation on your life and what you're doing. That's all you care about. You don't care about what God thinks. You could care less about that. And then lastly in this verse, where Jesus says, the honor that comes from God only. And the word only makes it very clear that there's no other source for this honor. There's no other substitute for this kind of honor. You can't go to the Dollar General store and get it. I can't give it to you. Your parents can't give it to you. Your pastor can't give it to you. A rabbi can't give it to you. A Catholic priest can't. Nobody can give this. There is only one source for this honor, and it is from God. And so when there's only one source for something, what does that mean? It means it's one of a kind, and it means that it is very precious. There's only one source for this honor, and it's from God himself. It's very precious. What is this? What's this honor we're thinking about this morning? I'd like to read a verse from 2 Peter 1:17. Speaking of Jesus, says, for he received from God the Father honor and glory, and there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Brothers and sisters, we need to have one concern in our spiritual lives, and that is that God the Father, Jesus the Son, that they are affirming our lives, and they are affirming what we are doing, and they are looking at us with that glint in their eye, saying, and they're proud to say, this is my son, this is my daughter, I am well pleased in them. And you quickly say, well, I don't hear voices from heaven. But the truth is that we have a third part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, living in our hearts and our lives. And God has his ways of affirming to us that he's proud of us and that he is pleased with our decisions. He's pleased with what we're doing. He's pleased with how we're living. And he has his ways of doing that. And as Christians, we know when God is pleased with what we are doing. God's perspective is, please care only about what I think. Don't concern yourselves. Don't worry about what other people think. Seek my approval. Your other people's approval is not nearly as important as my approval is, and that's what you need to seek. Just imagine, think about the life of Jesus. Think about how different the life of Jesus would have been in his ministry here on earth if he would have been trying to please his father, plus the scribes, plus the Pharisees, plus his parents, plus all these other people, it would have been terrible. He would not have accomplished what he accomplished. No. And you, different places, through, when you read through the Gospels, it's so evident that Jesus was concerned about one thing. He was concerned about his Father's approval. That's what he was concerned about. And that's how he lived his life. And Jesus is making it clear here that that's how we need to live our lives. My dear mother, who's not here for many years already, one of her, I remember her saying this different times, she would say, "Oh my, what are people going to think?" And do you know, that's a legitimate thought. It is. It's a legitimate thought. But there's something that is much more important, and that is, "Oh my, what's God going to think?" That is what is really important. And that's what God is emphasizing in this verse. Be concerned about what I'm going to think. Seek my approval, not the approval of others. God wants us to care about what he thinks and let the chips with others fall where they may. That's what is important. And, you know, this comes down to our parenting skills. It comes down to, for teaching Sunday school, if we're having devotions at church, all of our lives, as we live our lives as Christians, what's God going to think? And we're not impressing other people. We are out to, our goal is to please God. And remember, Jesus says in this verse, how can you even say you're a believer if you're out to impress others and you could care less about what I think? And so, what are our motives? What are our goals? The thing that is ultimately important is what God thinks. Now, I'd like to think about the context of this verse. And let's go back. I'm not going to read all of this, but the context starts back in the beginning of John chapter 5. And it's a familiar account of the man that was lame. And let me read the first 7 verses here. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at the certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." So here we have this lame man. He has a serious problem. He's been lame for some 38 years, and Jesus comes along and interacts with him, and Jesus performs, in the next verse, performs this amazing miracle. The man is healed. In verse 8, the verse says, "Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath." And here we have this man who's healed after 38 years. He is now, he takes up his bed and walks. An amazing miracle happens physically to this man. And as you read through the account, which I'm not going to this morning, but you read through the rest of the chapter, and the whole chapter is about this dialogue between the scribes and the Pharisees and the man that was healed and who healed him, and that horror of horrors, it was on the Sabbath. He was healed on the Sabbath. And when they finally discover who it was that healed him, and this lame man says, well, Jesus came and met him and talked to him, and he says, there's the man, it was Jesus that healed me. And now the scribes and the Pharisees go after Jesus, and they are confronting Jesus about how awful it was that he did this, that he did this marvelous deed on the Sabbath. What did Jesus do? He simply said, take up your bed and walk. And of course, to the Jews, it was a terrible thing to be walking with a bed on the Sabbath. And they were immediately confronting Jesus about how terrible this was. And so what we have here is we have the scribes and the Pharisees. They're all concerned about their own reputation. They're concerned about what other people are thinking of them. They're concerned about this, about Jesus who come into their midst and healed this man who had been lame for all these years. And they're all buggy about this, and they're having a fit about what had happened, and they are totally overlooking this marvelous miracle that had happened right in their midst. They no doubt knew this man very well who had not been able to walk for 38 years, and suddenly there's this marvelous miracle happens, and this man is walking, and they're concerned about all kinds of things, but they're not concerned about the one thing that was important, and the one thing that was important was, what does God think? What does God think? Is God's approval on this? Where's God at in all of this? And if we're not careful, we, like the scribes and the Pharisees, sometimes can get all caught up in what other people are thinking and totally miss a marvelous miracle that God has performed. Let's go to a few verses here I want to pick out. Notice verse 30. Verse 30 in John 5. Again, the words of Jesus. He says to the scribes and the Pharisees, he says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. Jesus here is just a perfect pattern for me and for you, for all of us, of what it means to not seek the approval of others first, but to lay down our own will and to seek the will of God. I seek the will of the Father which hath sent me. And in the human flesh, if we're honest with ourselves, this is a struggle. It's a struggle for me. It's a struggle for you to want to please others, to want to even please myself, rather than to please God, to seek the affirmation of God on my life. And Jesus here just makes it so clear that that's not what he was doing. He was, and you look at his life, and it just bears out through the ministry of Jesus that he had one thing in mind, one thing in his heart, and that was to please his Father. Oh, that we could all live our lives like that. Let's drop down to verse 42. Jesus, or maybe 41. Let's start with 41. Jesus says, again, he's speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees. He says, I receive not honor from men. Boy, I am positive there's not a one of us here this morning that can say that. In our sinful nature, there's just something that we desire honor from other people. And Jesus was able to say, I receive not honor from men. And then Jesus says in verse 42, he says, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. And then we come to our text verse this morning. And Jesus says, how is it even possible? You say you're a believer? How is that even possible if you're concerned about honor from other people and not concerned about the honor that can come only from me? Practically applying this verse to our lives, what does it mean to always seek God's honor first, and that is what's important to us and not the honor from other people? And I will be the first to admit that as a Christian, this is difficult, but it's possible. And I will also admit that I need to be reminded of this constantly, and I can believe we all need to be reminded of this constantly, to practically apply this verse to our lives and to catch ourselves and saying, no, what's important is God's approval, not other people's approval, but God's approval. When I grew up on a farm, and one of the things that my father used to drive me crazy with sometimes was we had a Case 400 tricycle tractor and a two-row IDEA corn picker, and I was one of my jobs of picking corn every fall. And my father would tell me, as he told all my older brothers when they were picking corn, every time you hook the corn picker up and you go, I'm going to go pick corn, my dad would always say, and I get very tired of it, but he would say, if you never get off of the tractor seat without turning the PTO off, if you always turn the PTO off first before you get off the tractor seat, you'll never get caught in the corn picker. It'll never happen. And so, okay, Dad. And I go out and pick corn, and then the next day or every time, he kept repeating that over and over and over again. But the good news is I never got caught in the corn picker, because I would always turn the PTO off before I got off the tractor. But the temptation was there. Anybody that knows anything about a two-row IDEA corn picker picking corn, the temptation was there. If the corn picker got clogged and the ratchets start going and you look back there and it's like, wow, if I just tug at that a little bit, it would go through so easy compared to turning it off first, and then you got to try and pull it out of there. It's much harder to do it that way. And so the temptation was there to not turn it off, but then my father's words would always come back to me. And I would often think of a few people I knew that got caught in corn pickers, and it's like, no, turn it off first and go do it the hard way. Don't even think about doing it the easier way and run the risk of losing your life or a leg or an arm. And so I think that applies to my Christian life and your Christian life and this verse. If we catch ourselves and say, no, it's not important what other people, that's important what other people think, but much more important is what God thinks. And I need to seek his approval and his affirmation and his blessing first. And then when I have that, what other people think, that's with them. That's with God has my back. And that is what is really, really important, that we always seek God's approval and his affirmation first in our lives. Now, we're thinking about applying this verse practically, and I can't help, because the context of this verse is what it is, with Jesus talking with the scribes and the Pharisees and having this dialogue back and forth and what have you. And so I have to think of our church life. We belong to a church. We attend church. We have a brotherhood that we're involved in, and that's a precious thing to have, and we enjoy that and we cherish that, and it's a wonderful thing. But something that is more important than that is God's approval. And sometimes we have And let me say it this way. Sometimes people are born into God's kingdom and they might not fit perfectly into our beautiful little church that we have. And let's never overlook the miracle that God has done and try to quickly form them to fit our mold perfectly. That is wrong. And we have to always understand the miracle that God has that God has done and accomplished, and to seek God's approval on our lives and on that person's lives, understanding that is very, very important. Let's not overlook miracles because of our traditions, which there's nothing wrong with, but let's be careful that we don't overlook God's miracles. Practically applying this verse, another area is with our finances. No doubt, we can be tempted to do things that men would be honored by or impressed with. But what's really important is God impressed with? Is God's approval on what we are about to do? Is God's approval resting on it? Half an hour ago, we lifted an offering here at church. Was God's approval resting on what the amount and what I may have put into the offering this morning? Did I seek God and ask for His approval and His blessing on it? He's concerned about things like that, and he's happy to give us His affirmation and His blessing on it if we stop to ask Him and to seek His blessing on it. Applying this verse practically, with our personal obedience and our following the Word of God and living in obedience to God's Word, is it important to me? Do I seek God's approval on it? Do I hear God's voice through the Holy Spirit saying, "This is my son, this is my daughter in whom I am well pleased. They have read the scripture and they are applying it to their lives and they are living it out." You know, we live in a day and age when there's a lot of people making a lot of changes, and the temptation is there to live a life that is more focused on pleasing others than on our Heavenly Father. Maybe you find yourself in a family setting this morning where many of your siblings are no longer following a lot of the teachings of the Scripture. And if that's the case in your life, remember it's much. The only thing that's important is what God thinks, not what your siblings think. And the teachings of the Scripture are true, and they are there for us to take and to apply to our lives and to live a life of obedience. And as we do that, we have our Father's affirmation on our lives. Some of you remember Harlan Sell from Myerstown. His father, Mena, used to preach at Myerstown sometimes, and I believe it was one of his grandchildren got divorced and remarried. And I remember Mena saying, I love my grandson so much, and he said, I so much wanted to be able to agree or to affirm with what he had done. But he said, I searched the scriptures from the beginning to the end, and I could find no justification for it. And that is seeking God's approval rather than seeking approval of your family, of your children, or of your grandchildren, and making changes in your life to fit their mold and to get their approval rather than God's approval. No, it's God's approval that is important. And it can be, we can experience this with our siblings, we can experience it with our aunts and uncles, we can experience it as we get older with our own children. Are we going to change? What's important? Our children's affirmation and seeking their approval or God's approval? There's a verse in Matthew 10:37 that says, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." That verse just, so Jesus just lays it out so clear. If you are going to love me, if your belief is in me, it's my approval that is important, not the approval and the affirmation of others. John chapter 5 and verse 44. Let's look at this verse in closing. I want to read it very slowly, and then we're going to make it personal. These are the words of Jesus, and I want it to stick with us this morning. I want this verse to stick with myself and yourself in the future as you make plans, as you think about things, as you make decisions in life. Jesus says, "How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only?" Now, I want to personalize this verse. We're going to all read it together. But instead of the word ye, we're going to use the word I. And I want us all to make this verse very personal. And I want us to remember it as we go through life and as we make decisions. And to question ourselves and to use it as a check. Where am I really at here? What's important to me? So let's read the verse together. Instead of the word ye, we're going to use I. How can I believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that comes from God only? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you this morning for your word, and I thank you for this very challenging and sobering statement. And I thank you for the truth of this verse that you give us here in John. And help us, Lord, to be thinking about this verse as we live our Christian lives, and help us to be constantly seeking your approval and your affirmation on our lives, because truly it's the only thing that is really important, is to have your gaze of satisfaction on our lives, and to know that we are living a life that meets your approval. And it just gives us such a blessed feeling. We know that as we live our lives in a way that have your approval, that many times there are other people that can't see it and disagree with it and think that they would rather that we would live our lives in being approved of them and in the way they think of things. But, oh Lord, help us to always remember that it is only your approval. That's what really counts, and it's what's important. And ultimately, help us to remember that this verse that makes it very clear, you yourself say, how can you even be a believer? How can you even profess to be a believer if you don't truly seek the approval that comes only from me? Bless each one of us here this morning, and I just ask God that you would help us to apply all the scriptures to our lives, but especially this verse this morning as we focused in on it. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.